It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Good morning, everybody. Another snowy morning in the state of New Jersey. Hope everyone is safe on their commutes. As we get the third week in February kick-started here of 2014. Free agency now under a month away. The combine starts this week. I will be heading out very early Friday morning. Little 6 a.m. flight, landing around 8 a.m. Heading right over to Lucas Oil Stadium. Getting ready for the combine. We'll have reports from there. We'll talk a lot about some of the draft prospects. We'll get most of our stuff from that from NFL Network. We'll talk to some Giants scouts. We'll have a few minutes with Mark Ross while we're out there. We'll cover Coach Coughlin and Jerry Reese's press conferences out there in Indianapolis. And in addition, what I'm going to try to do is catch up with a lot of the media members on the national scene, even some of the local guys, and get their predictions and ideas on what the Giants should do, not only in the draft, but also in free agency. And in general, what's up with the Giants heading into 2014? So it'll be a busy weekend. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be filing reports from Friday through Monday when we return. And it'll be a good time out there in Indianapolis. And hopefully when I'm out there, it's not going to snow. It's supposed to be 50 degrees here over the weekend. That should be cool. Finally melt some of the stuff that's been on the ground for what seems like a month and a half. Today on Big Blue Kickoff Live, last week we discussed some of the skill position needs for the Giants on offense. And I prefaced that conversation by saying, well, besides the offensive line, what's the most important thing to you on that side of the ball for the Giants to address it and take care of in free agency? Well, today we're going to talk about the number one need for the Giants, and that is the offensive line. And basically what I want to talk to you about is how do you want the Giants to address their offensive line issues? Now, we know that the Giants need to get better in that position to protect Eli Manning, give him some time to cut down on the turnovers, and also open up some holes in the running game. So we know that's a big need for the New York Giants. But how do you get better there? What's your best method of addressing those needs? And right now, heading into next season, Christie is under contract, but there's a question as to whether or not he might retire, and if he does come back, how the Giants will deal with his exorbitant salary cap number. Then you have David Boss, another guy with a very big salary cap number. And finally, you have Kevin Booth, who's a free agent. David Deal has announced his retirement. And the two incumbents you figure will start next year is Will Beatty and Justin Pugh. But where will they start? And that's where we're going to start here when we talk about how the Giants are going to address their offensive line situation. Who do you trust that's still on this roster to be a starter? And I think, considering the contract you gave him, whether or not you like him or not, you don't have a choice but to consider Will Beatty a starter. And based on his athleticism and his body type and how he plays, to me, the best position for Will Beatty is still left tackle. Now, I think this season, if he's a disaster and he's having the same sort of problems he had last year, and you got guys running around them left and right, do you then consider moving him to right tackle? Sure, but I think you start him at the start of the year, at left tackle, and let him go. Now, this is assuming he recovers well from his broken leg, which he had surgery to repair in the offseason, which I would imagine he'll recover from that just fine. Now, as for Justin Pugh, I would leave him out at right tackle. To me, if you have a right tackle that you know can get the job done and is a very good player, why move him to guard where it's easier to find the player to play that position? We know Pugh can play right tackle. In just his rookie year, his last 12 games, he played that position extremely well. Why would you want to move him? Now, if you have to move him to save the offensive line elsewhere, sure, you do it. But to me, unless you have to, you shouldn't. So I'd leave Justin Pugh out there at right tackle and let him grow at that spot. And who knows? Maybe in a year or two, Pugh can be your starting left tackle, like David Deal became when he was here with the Giants, starting inside, moving to right tackle, and then back to the left side. Remember, Pugh played left tackle at Syracuse. Not saying it's going to happen, but I would leave Pugh out there at right tackle, let him do what he does. So that leaves those three interior spots where you got to figure out what you're going to do if you're the Giants. And to me, where the Giants make a splash in free agency, the same way they signed Colin Jenkins last year, is you go out there and you find the best interior offensive lineman on the market, and you go out there and you sign him. You put your money where your mouth is, you pay the money, and you get the best offensive lineman you can. So, when you look at the free agent interior offensive lineman, what do you got? The number one guy on my list is Alex Mack, the center from the Cleveland Browns. Now, with Ray Farmer taking over there and a brand new front office, will the Browns probably do all they can to re-sign him? Sure, but if I'm the Giants, I go above market value, and I try to bring Alex Mack in here. To me, he's the best free agent offensive lineman. You can argue Jeff Schwartz from Kansas City, also an excellent offensive lineman, Pro Football Focus, has him ranked very highly on what he did last year. Trevell Wharton, another guy out of Carolina. He's 33, though. I'd like to get somebody a little bit younger. Schwartz, 28. Alex Mack, 28. If you bring in Mack at center and David Boss remains on your team, you can slot him over to guard. He played guard when he was in San Francisco. And then for the other guard, you know, maybe Chris Knee comes back, but I think you have to back him up. Gabe Karimi just signed this weekend, so he's off the market. But, you know, you got guys like, you know, the Mike Pollocks of the world, the Joe Wrightses of the world, guys like that who are decent guards. You know, they're good players. You know, you pay them a market value contract, a few million a year, and then you have a guard. And then you have either Boss or Snead at the other guard, and I think you can go to battle with that offensive line and feel good about yourself. I know a lot of people want the Giants to pick an offensive tackle in the first round of the draft. I wouldn't, because you have Beattie on the left side with money dedicated to him. I think you have to give him a year to try to regain his form as a pass blocker. And as I mentioned, you already have Justin Pugh on the right side. I would not use a first-round pick on an offensive tackle at 12. Now, I think you can get a good player there. That being said, remember, folks, last year, the Lane Johnsons, the Eric Fishers, even the Chance Warmacks, those tackles that were picked with those high draft selections, they struggled last year. I mean, do you want to put an offensive tackle out there that's going to struggle protecting Eli Manning? I could argue Justin Pugh had better years than any of those guys. Jokel, too. So, do you want to put another rookie tackle out there and move Pugh to guard, a position he's never really played before? And then you have two kind of new players on that line and Beattie recovering from the injury? I don't know. I would rather bring in a veteran. You pay one interior offensive lineman, the top guy in the market, a guy like Alex Mack, big-time money. You pay, or a guy like Jeff Schwartz from Kansas City, and you fill in a veteran in the other spot. You have Pugh and Beattie outside, and then you have Boss or Snee, whoever you decide to retain at the other guard spot, and you go to Warren. You say, you know what, this is what we'll do. And then worst comes to worst, if Boss or Snee can't play, you have the other one to back him up, and then you make sure you have a guy like Brandon Mosley, a young guy that can step in, or James Brewer. If things get bad, you need a guy at that spot to step in. You'd also have to figure out who your backup tackle is, because Brewer theoretically could be that guy, I guess, though I'm not sure he's shown enough at tackle where he's proven to you that he could be a backup left tackle and right tackle. Then all you have is Pugh and Beattie. So you have to figure out who your backup tackle is. Maybe that's the one you could pick in the draft in the second or third round, something like that. That I could believe in. You pick a guy that might take a year to develop so you can make a decision on Beattie. If you see this new guy can be an awesome tackle down the road, then maybe you decide to move Justin Pugh later. I could see those things. But to me, And again, I see the argument the other way, and I'm sure other people will make it on the phone lines at 201-939-4513 or online at hashtag Giants Chat. You can make the argument. You want to pick an offensive tackle in the first round. I get it. But that's not how I would handle it. But I believe the one splash the Giants make in free agency, the same way, you know, Canty was a splash, Antro Roll was a splash, Boley was a splash, Colin Jenkins, somewhat a splash. The Giants' splash this year will come on the offensive line, and it should come inside, in my opinion. And that is what Giant fans should keep their eyes on when they get to free agency the second week of March. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones and start chatting. Let's start with Shakes in Baltimore. He's going to lead us off today. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
Oh, man, I'm leading off.
You're leading off, bud. Okay. A lot of responsibility is now on your shoulders to get this show off to a good start.
Okay. I got to eat through it then.
What do you got? Well, you know what? This year you got a Jacoby Ellsbury it.
Okay. Yeah. I hope they do something good. But let's not talk about Yankees right now. Let's talk about this offensive line. I agree with you. I don't think we should spend a first or second round pick on a lineman. But see, this is where I disagree with you. Of course, I agree. Alex Mack should definitely be a splash for us. We definitely got to throw big money at him first night. Should just pull a Snyder. Just pull a Snyder. Just send the Jets over and get him. Just bring him in. Bring him in Jersey, because once they come in Jersey, they never leave. You know that. You know that. So, okay, let's go with Alex Mack, but this is where I disagree. I think that instead of going, you know, top free agent guard, I think we should go Michael Orr. I mean, you know, I live out here in Baltimore. I get to see him play. And to me, I see him play a lot. I don't see him struggling in the inside. Now, if he does in the inside struggle, we can probably throw Pugh in it, in the inside as guard, like left guard or, you know, right guard. But I think I want Snead to come back, but he got to restructure his contract. And then Boss, I think he should be like a reliable backup guard. I mean, he's banged up. So,
the only thing I want to warn you about, Shakes, in terms of Michael Orr, and I don't know what the general feeling is on his quality of play down there in Baltimore, but Pro Football Focus, who, you know, does a great job grading out some of these positions, had Michael Orr rated as a very, very poor offensive tackle last year. They gave him a rating of -12.6 on their rating scale, which is near the bottom of their list for offensive linemen. So I'm not sure what the general feeling is in Baltimore right on how Orr has been playing the last couple of years, but Pro Football Focus doesn't think very highly of him.
I don't watch a lot of games because I'm more in the Giant games, but when I watch him, he don't do good on the left side. Like his feet, his footwork is not.
He isn't quick enough.
He's not
right?
Baby.
Right.
Yeah. No. He's not Beatty, but he's very strong, and he can pull, which I like. So that's on the right side, he's very good, very good. Maybe top offensive tackle, but on that left side where, you know, that blind side, and it's funny because he made a movie about it, and you can't even defend the blind side. But, yeah, I think he's very good on the right side. And I think if you throw him in the inside, he can pull. And, you know, we like, you know, them road graders in the inside. So, and he's a road grader. He really is. So I think, like, you know, if we sign Michael Orr, maybe have him as guard, or maybe have him as tackle, if, you know, depending on how Pugh is. And I think that I can rely on Pugh to go inside. I think I can. I think he did a good enough job on the outside. I think he can do good in it. So that's what we got. We got Alex Mack and Michael Orr making a splash. and, you know, shuffling a little bit, and then we got a little reliable veterans like Snead and Boss, you know. And that's how I see it.
Jakes, appreciate
and
the call,
Keith
my Beatty
friend. At the left side.
Great.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. So that's the way you lead off a show. Good call out of Shakes. Now, I will go through some of these, and I got Pro Football Focus's free agent tracker up there. And we're going to see about getting somebody on from Pro Football Focus over the next couple of days to talk about some of these free agents and talk about the Giants' own free agents as well. And we'll see if they'll take some calls for you guys as well, which could be a lot of fun. But in terms of the top free agent offensive linemen that are available, you got Jordan Gross out of Carolina, who's a little bit on the older side. He's 34 years old. He's got the highest grade from Pro Football Focus. Zach Strief, if you remember, he was drafted, I think, in the second round about, you know, 7-8 years ago now. I just can't believe it's that long ago. I felt like that was just four or five years ago. He's a free agent. He's going to get a lot of money. Then Eugene Monroe had a really good year for the Ravens. He's just 27 and a guy that I think is going to be one of the most sought-after free agent offensive linemen. He might actually get a bigger contract than anybody this year as an offensive lineman, him and Alex Mack, I think. But Monroe is a tackle and a guy that can play the left side, from what I understand. He can get a lot of money. Then Brandon Albert, obviously, a very good offensive lineman for the Chiefs, will be out there as well. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, good morning.
Hi, I got a question for you. Will the Giants cut Will Beatty and Will David Boss cover the cap?
Well, you know, Tim, I don't believe that they're going to cut Will Beatty, and thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. There's just really too much money the Giants have invested in him, and there would be a huge, huge cap hit if they do decide to let Will Beatty go. Now, according to my man at overthecap.com, NYG Salary on Twitter, he does a good job keeping track of this stuff. The earliest the Giants financially could decide to cut Will Beatty is next offseason and designate him a post-June 1st cut. That's the only way it could possibly work under the salary cap, if you're the New York Giants. So Will Beatty will be back. As for David Boss, we talked about his contract situation last week a little bit. And I'm going to bring up the numbers that I went through with David Boss. See, he has 2 years left on his deal, and there's a fair amount of guaranteed money left on that contract. And his salary cap number this year is very, very high. As I bring up this sheet here, I believe it is somewhere in the $8 million range. Yes, he is $8.2 million against the cap this year. Here's the problem. He has $6.5 million of guaranteed money left on his contract. So if you would cut David Boss this year, all of that $6.5 million of guaranteed money remaining on his contract would be accelerated to this year. So you would only actually save $1.8 million on the salary cap. Now, if you do designate him a post-June 1st cut, that jumps to about $5 million in cap savings. But then you lose $3 million next year. So if they decide to let David Boss go, which I think is a potential possibility, I'm not discounting it, it's something they can do, and I would not be surprised if they did it, considering the injury problems he's had here in the past. You know, and you make him a post-June 1st cut, yeah, then it could happen. But otherwise, if you cut him out right now and you want that money available to you before that June 1st date, which ideally is what you want so you can spend it on some of the top-notch free agents that are out there, you're only getting $1.8 million in cap space if you cut him before June 1st. So is that worth it, or would you rather bring him back then and see if you can get something out of him? And then if you want to let him go next year. And then you get your, you know, $4 or $5 million of cap savings. That's something the Giants are going to have to figure out. Originally, when the offseason started, my thought was, look, they're going to cut Boss and cut bait with them and let him go. But the more I looked at the numbers, I'm not sure if the cap savings you get from letting him go are worth having him around and maybe getting him to contribute in some way, shape, or form as depth on the offensive line. So that's really going to be a tough decision for Jerry Reese and the Giants front office to figure out. 201-939-4513. Steve is in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, what's happening, John? Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Thanks for calling, Steve.
Hey, listen, first, I just want to know how many free agents do you think we're talking about here, you know, as far as picking up on the offensive line?
I think they will bring in a minimum of two with, you know, maybe them bringing in a couple of bottom-of-the-roster guys to compete for spots in training camp and things of that nature. But in terms of major signings, guys that could be potential starters, I think you're looking at two.
Okay, because, you know, first of all, the last caller kind of, you know, stole my question. As far as, you know, David Boss, I personally think we need to cut our losses. And if we have to go into the draft and, you know, and you know, try our luck there, you know, I just don't really think he's going to work out. But, you know, I did, you know, I kind of like, you know, Jeff Schwartz. You know, I don't know if we'll spend that kind of money, or the guard from the Saints. I can't think of his name, but, you know, or possibly, a Brandon Albert. But, you know, one thing I want to talk about is who we do have is Pugh, you know, because I'm high on Pugh, too. But like any rookie, you know, any player, you know, as we sit back and critique them, you know, my only concern with Pugh is, you know, and I want to know if you could give me any information on this, is he working out? Is he putting on a little bit more size? You know, I mean, he's fine for the rear now. I'd just like to see him get a little bit more developed.
Now, Steve, Justin Pugh's a hard worker. I would not worry about him getting into the gym and getting stronger next year. He's going to work his butt off. He's one of those blue-collar type of guys. That would not be a concern. I'm sure he's at this point still kind of healing up from his injuries this past season, but as soon as he gets working out, and I'm sure he started at this point being in the second week of February after giving his body a little bit of rest, don't worry about Justin Pugh working hard. And in terms of those two Saints guys, you're either talking about Zach Strief, who's a free agent tackle for them, or you have Brian De La Puente.
No, the guard.
Brian De La Puente, he played center for them last year. I think he's capable of playing guard, but he is a guy that does play inside. He, what I would say, is a middle-of-the-road, a good starting caliber offensive lineman, but not really like a huge difference maker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, do you think we'll spend the money on a Jeff Schwartz? I mean,
well, you know what? That's the thing. To me, the Giants always like to pick out the one thing they need to get better at. And based on what they said after the season, that position's offensive line. So if they're going to spend money and they're going to give out a big signing bonus, it's going to be on the offensive line. And if you're going to do it, why not target the best guys in the market, a guy like Alex Mack, a guy like Jeff Schwartz?
Yeah, well, finally, you know, hey, John, you know, Chris Snee, I mean, I appreciate everything he's done. He's been a stellar, you know, starter for years and years. But, I'd like to see him retire and go, you know, maybe start coaching. You know, I don't know, you know, I know we're going to throw him a lot of money, but, you know, do you know when that decision may be made as far as when if he's going to come back or whatever?
Well, look, here's the bottom line with Chris Snee. Chris Snee is going to be owed $4.5 million this year on the salary cap, whether he plays, whether he retires, whether he gets cut. That money is going to get to Chris Snee one way or the other. He has 1 year left on his deal. $4.5 million of it is guaranteed. Now, here's the trick. He has about $7 million of base salary on his contract. So if he retires, that base salary money disappears. It gets erased from the cap. You don't have to worry about it. So that's a good thing. But here's the trick. If Chris Snee wants to play, he's going to have to sit down with the Giants now, renegotiate his contract, and figure out how they can get that base salary number very, very low. To me, the only way the Giants bring Chris Snee back off all these hip surgeries, Steve, is if they get that base salary number down to, you know, $1.5 million, then it's worth, I think, rolling the dice, giving Snee a chance to come back and contribute next year. But at what he's being paid right now, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If somebody would have, we would have cut Boss and somebody would have picked him up, would that relieve any of the money that we owe him, or would that we still owe him that money?
Guaranteed, you know, money, unfortunately, Steve, is guaranteed money. He will get paid that by the Giants no matter what.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, all right. Last thing I want to say is, and this is not coming from me, this is a Twitter question, so somebody's going to be listening later. They asked me that. Who do you think will replace Hakeem? I'm okay with the fact that we're replacing him, but if you have time, if you could just kind of touch on that. I know it's a little bit off base, but just kind of know if you see it as a free agent or a draft. Anyway, great show. Thanks for coming in, and I'll be looking forward to some feedback from the combine too, buddy. So
sounds
enjoy
good,
yourself,
Steve.
And have a good week.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. In terms of Knicks, honestly, do you know who I think is going to replace Akeem Nix when all is said and done? I think it's going to be Ruben Randle. I mean, would I be shocked if it's a guy, say, like James Jones? No, I wouldn't be shocked. I think that's a possibility. But if I was to put the likelihood of the Giants' second starting wide receiver next year, I say Ruben Randle's the most likely, a veteran free agent's the second most likely, and a draft pick would be the third most likely. Heck, I'd even put Jernigan probably as a higher possibility than a draft pick. I just don't see the Giants going wide receiver in the first round. I don't see it. Just my opinion. And again, I think it's more likely you get a multidimensional receiver coming in free agency who's like a speed guy that can be your fourth wide receiver, but his primary job is kickoff returns. A guy like Jacoby Jones, a guy like Ted Ginn Jr. Ginn Jr. being the guy that I would want. I think he's a perfect fit for this team. I really do. I wonder how much he's going to get on the free agent market. I wouldn't think much. I think it'll be a contract reasonable for the Giants to sign him to. And I know you have David Wilson with the ability to do kickoffs, but again, I don't trust it with the neck. So I think you bring in Ginn. He can play wide receiver. We saw him score a touchdown against the Giants last year as a guy that can go deep. I think it works. But again, if I had to guess who's going to replace Akeem Nix, I think it's probably going to be Ruben Randle. And the Giants are going to need him to step up. He's a third-round pick, and the Giants are going to need him to become the player they think he has the ability to become. You know, or maybe a low-cost free agent is not out of the question. A James Jones, maybe a Mario Manningham, something like that. But I don't think you're looking at a first-round pick at wideout. I don't think you're looking at a big-money wideout in free agency. I think the Giants are going to try to figure that out in-house with their young guys or bring in a veteran to kind of be a stabilizing factor across from Cruz. Remember, the old Gilbert offense, that X wide receiver spot, the spot that Burris played and the spot that Nix played was the most important spot in the offense. Now, maybe that's going to change a little bit this year. Maybe you can get away with doing something a little bit different with the offense McAdoo's installing with Tom Coughlin, literally, as we speak. 201-939-4513. Ed is in Surf City. Is that in New Jersey, Ed?
Yes, hello.
What's going on, Ed? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind this morning?
I just want to go off the Knicks topic. Like, you think he's a goner, right?
I think it's very unlikely unless he gets literally zero interest from other teams and he settles for an extremely low-cost contract. I think it's very unlikely he's back.
Okay, so where would you see him going? I've heard like some about the Jets and Carolina.
I mean, people talk about Carolina. That's where he's from. Dave Gettleman, a former executive for the Giants, is down there. The Panthers need to eventually find a replacement for Steve Smith. Brandon LaFell's a free agent. So a lot of people think that's a logical fit. The Jets wouldn't shock me. You know what a team I think could be a dark horse for Akeem Nix, too? The Washington Redskins. Daniel Snyder loves poaching people from the division. He has a lot of money this offseason to spend. A team like the Redskins wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah, I heard Linval. He was interested in getting Linval, too.
Well, you know what? They need defensive lineup. They have Barry Cofield, you know, Stephen Bowen, Jim Haslett's coming back there. So I think they could use Linval as a nose tackle or even a 3-4 defensive end, I guess, to a certain extent. I wouldn't be shocked that the Redskins look at all those guys.
Okay. All right, that's it. You guys are all year, right?
Ed, we're every day 9:30 to 10:30 on Giants.com. Welcome to the family.
That's quite refreshing.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Have a good one. And we're on Twitter as well at hashtag Giants Chat. You can join the conversation. We do a little bit non-Giants stuff on hashtag Giants Chat, too. Mike Farmer is bragging before the show that he predicted John Wall would win the slam dunk contest, which he did. Mike Farmer, here's your credit. Congratulations. And it was that two-handed reverse jam was quite impressive, though not a big fan of the format. Someone tweeted this morning, I forget who it was. You know what they should install into All-Star Weekend, either in place of the dunk contest or maybe the dopey shooting stars competition or the skills competition? I want to see games of horse. I want to see guys one-on-one and play a game of horse. I think that'd be a lot of fun. You could do dunks. You could do trick shots. I think that would be a lot of fun if you have guys play horse. I think that'd be good. 201-939-4513. Phillip's in New Jersey. Phillip, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Smoke?
What's up, bud?
Everything's all right. Look, I had a question about the Giants draft picks, right?
Yeah, what do you got?
I was thinking about being that we don't even have any really good linebackers except for Beeson. How about us the Giants drafting C.J. Mosley, getting one of the top three tight ends, either Jason Morrow, Eric Ebron, or something, I think Austin Seferian Jenkins. And then with the third pick is a guy out of Stanford, Shane Scholes. He's pretty good. What do you think about that?
What position does a guy out of Stanford play? I'm not that familiar with him.
He's linebacker.
Honestly, well, let me put it this way. I'm not that familiar with the get out of Stanford, but I would be just fine if the Giants can figure out a way to get Mosley in round one, take one of those three tight ends if they're still available in round two, and then round three, if you want to pick another linebacker or maybe go corner in round three, I'd be just fine with that draft strategy. I think it fills needs for the Giants. I think it fits with what they're going to do in free agency. I think it's a situation where that would help the Giants a lot next year. I'm just fine if that's what you want to do if you're the New York Football Giants in this year's draft.
Because I think we need linebackers, and the scouting report is saying this guy Scholes, even though he's like a top five, he's not the best, but they say he could come right in and be. They say he's a tackle machine.
Do they have him as more of an inside linebacker or outside guy?
Yeah, he plays a 4-3. He's not a rush linebacker, but I've seen like his highlights. He can do that too, but. He's pretty, he's like a nice-sized linebacker.
Well, that's the thing. Look, if you have Beeson in the middle and the Giants bring him back, to me, C.J. Mosley projects as more of a will linebacker on the NFL level than a middle guy. I don't think he's big enough to play the middle. And then if you can pick up a linebacker to play Sam, the strong side, in round three,
yeah.
I'd be fine with that. I think that would, fit out the Giants linebacker's core quite nicely.
I had one more question.
Sure.
I was reading Pro Sports. There was a rumor about Cincinnati's tight end maybe being a cap casualty named Gresham.
Yeah, you know what? They drafted Tyler Eifert last year out of Notre Dame, and
right,
he had a pretty good rookie year. So it all depends whether or not the Bengals, and by the way, the Bengals have never been known to be free with their money. So if they want to save some cash and let Gresham go, I think that would be a pretty good target for the Giants to look at. He's the type of two-way tight end that I think Tom Coughlin would really like.
Yeah, I saw that him and Eifert, they had pretty similar numbers. I don't think they would keep both. Even though Cincinnati has a lot of money, but I just saw that as a rumor that they would cut him just to get their rookie in there, their money.
Nah, good point, Phil. But I think if Gresham gets cut loose, he could definitely be a target for the Giants. No doubt about it.
All right, Smoke. Thanks, my man.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it, dude. Right. Good to hear from you. 201-939-4513. He's all over it. I'd be fine with that. And I'd be fine, too, if you go cornerback round one, tight end round two. Again, if one of those top guys drops, you don't want to overdraft in the second round, obviously. And then a round three. To me, when you get to round three, though, I hate to say, well, I want to pick this position in this round, this position in this round, this position in that round. I think it's tough. I think you can project to a certain extent what type of positions you're going to have value at, especially early in the second round. The Giants have the 12th pick in the second round. I think it's possible to project out that far. I think you can do it. I think it's really hard, though, to project out to round three and say, well, let's pick this position in round three. I think it's a hard thing to say because once you get to round three, you're still trying to find a starter. To me, you're in round three, you want to get a guy that maybe doesn't start day one of his first year in the NFL, but by week five or six, or week eight, or even in year two, he can be a starter for you. So to me, when you get to round three, you really have to pick the best player available. And if that means it's a linebacker, great. If it's a cornerback, great. If it's an offensive lineman, that's great too. To me, once you get to round three, you have to find the value. You need to find those handful of starters. And I figure once you get to around pick 70 or 65 and you get through the picks that teams get for losing free agents, et cetera, once you get past the first two rounds, there are probably 10 to 15 starting caliber players left in the draft. You have to be one of those 10 to 15 teams that finds one of those starting caliber players in the third round. You need to be one of those teams that finds those guys. So that's why you can't pigeonhole yourself into, I want this position. You can't do that. You got to find the guy that has the best value. And that's where you make your money if you're a guy that drafts. Anybody can find a starter in round one. For the most part, anyone can find a starter in round two. But finding starters in rounds three, four, and five, and even six or seven, that's where you make your money. That's where you win Super Bowls. Look where the Seahawks built their team on defense. Round three, round four, round five. Starters. That's how you win. And that's the trick. And that's why you can't pigeonhole yourself in saying, I need this position around three or four or five. It's hard that way. Now, round one, if you say, look, I really need a corner. You know, odds are maybe there might be a wide receiver that's slightly better out there, or a defensive tackle that's slightly better and maybe has, you know, a 6.9 grade instead of a 6.8. That's fine. But odds are if you say, I got to have a starting corner, and as long as it's not a weird draft like last year where there weren't a lot of, you know, wide receivers or running backs available in the first round, and you're picking 12, guess what? You're probably going to be able to find a cornerback that can star for you at the 12th pick in the first round if that's what you really need. Now, the Giants don't go about it that way, but if you want to draft for need, you can do it in the first round and get away with it. When you start drafting for need in round two, but especially three, four, and five, that's when I think you really get yourself into trouble. Because you're going to pick guys that probably aren't going to help you just because you need somebody at that spot, and that's where you get into trouble. 201-939-4513. Jason is in New Jersey. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Smoke. I wanted to talk about how Hakeem Nicks should be a free agent. I don't want him back in the Giants uniform.
Why not?
You know, because, I mean, look at the past two seasons. He had three touchdowns, right? And I don't know how many yards, but, I mean, we should bring Anquan Boldin, a guy that plays for a contract and plays for his heart. Well, meanwhile, Nick is not playing at his best because he wants that contract. As soon as he gets that contract, he's going to play more bad or horrible as a receiver. And I don't know what we should do with Hakeem Nicks. I think we should either if the Giants owner or the manager wants to sign him to a franchise tag. But
No, Jason, I could tell you the Giants are not gonna franchise Hakeem Nicks. In fact, I'd be surprised if the Giants franchise tagged anybody.
Yeah. And do you think we should, like, draft the receiver, or do you think that Anquan Boldin, if Anquan Boldin is still a free agent and we get him, we don't need to draft the receiver, right?
Look, honestly, I'd be okay with bringing in Boldin as a short-term solution. I obviously, at his, you know, age, wouldn't give him a long-term contract, and Mike Farmer pointed out on Twitter, a one-year contract for him is a stopgap. You know, see if Reuben Randall can come on then in that period of time, Jarrell Jernigan, guys like that. I'd be fine rolling the dice on Anquan Boldin on a short-term deal. But I wonder, you know, how much the Niners are going to offer him as a free agent. I think he was very valuable to them. I think him and Kaepernick get along very well. I think they have a good connection. And I wonder whether or not the Niners are going to let him walk away or if they will overpay for him. So, yeah, I think Boldin is a decent one-year solution to replace Nicks, but I wouldn't give him a big long-term contract with a lot of guaranteed money. And I'm not sure the type of contract the Giants would be willing to give him is enough to get him away from the 49ers. But I think it's something the Giants could look at, and I think it's something that could be a decent fit for the team.
Okay. I'm wondering if, like, what you talked about with the linebackers.
Yeah.
The corners and the linebackers have to, like, really press, like mad, being more aggressive.
Okay.
With the pass coverage, you know, and to me, I mean, there's some plays that the Giants can get interceptions, but it's like they get burned out on that play. I don't know if we should draft corners or we should pick up corners from the free agents and the linebackers too.
Hey, look, I think however they do it, Jason, those are two positions on defense that I think you have to improve. Right now, the only cornerbacks you have on the roster are Prince Amukamara, Jaron Hosley, and Charles James. You obviously need to add people to that group. You know, maybe Tremaine McBride comes back, maybe Terrell Thomas comes back. But to me, none of those guys are guys that are starting caliber NFL cornerbacks. So I think you're going to have to add somebody. I would really think about using my first-round pick on a corner if the Giants think somebody is worth that grade. I also think you can look in free agency, but corners never come cheap. That's why I much prefer using a draft pick on a corner since you get him on a rookie contract. As for linebacker, I think you bring back Beeson in the middle, but I would like to add one more impact linebacker, whether in the draft or in free agency, to pair with Beeson, and then you put Jaquan Williams and Paysinger. They can battle it out for the weak side linebacker spot, and then you go to war with that. And I think if you improve those two positions, you bring back Tuck, you bring back Beeson, I think your defense will be fine in 2014.
Yeah, I mean, defense got better in the midseason when Beeson was there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was really impressed with the defense playing against Adrian Peterson and all the good running backs that were, very good in the season. You know, it's just, I can't believe how the Giants started 0-6. Can't believe that.
Hey, the bottom line is that, Jason, they built a hole that was simply too big for them to deep out of.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks for the call, bud.
All right, thank you. Have a nice day.
Hey, you too. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. And I just want to remind people of one thing here, okay? And I know the Giants defense played well in the middle of the season. I'm not taking anything away from them. But remember, the first six games, they did not play well. And I realize that was pre-Beeson, but that was also against good quarterbacks. Minnesota, Josh Freeman. Eagles, one-legged Vic into Matt Barkley. Raiders, Terrell Pryor. Packers, Scott Tolzien. Those four games is really where the Giants defense turned around. Not very impressive. You know, their defense did pretty good against Dallas on November 24th, but, you know, they were good, not great. Phillip Rivers ate them up 2 weeks later. The Redskins managed to beat them on December 1st. Their quarterback's not very good. Seattle, I thought the Giants played pretty well against them, to be honest with you. But they're not a high-flying offensive attack through the air. The defense did well against Detroit, and then obviously the last game against the Redskins with Kirk Cousins was a rainy day. So, yeah, the defense got better. But next year, remember, you're going to face a lot of very good football teams with some good quarterbacks. You know, I think Jacksonville and Houston will probably have new rookies under center for them that are probably going to be high draft picks that are going to be able to play, whether it's, Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel. It could be any one of those guys, and those guys are going to be playmakers. Out west, Sam Bradford, Carson Palmer, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson. Those guys are all going to be better with another year under their belt. Though Bradford is coming back off that ACL. We'll see what happens with him. Then in the NFC East, you got to deal with Nick Foles for two games now. You got Romo for two games. You would think you're going to have an improved RG3 for two games. Then you got Matt Ryan with the Falcons and Matt Stafford with the Lions. So, depending on injuries, obviously, and injuries happen, so you can't predict it, you could argue, at least the way it's stacking up now, depending on who the Jaguars and Texans draft, I'm going to assume they're going to draft quarterbacks with their, top 10 picks here. You're never going to face a quarterback as bad as Josh Freeman. You're never going to face a quarterback like Terrell Pryor. You're never going to face a quarterback like Matt Barkley. You're never going to face a quarterback like Scott Tolzien. Again, depending on injuries, obviously, but I want to see this Giant linebacking core and cornerbacks do better against top-notch quarterback competition. That's why I think that's where you have to focus to get better. The run defense was great. Beeson's great against the run. Jenkins good against the run. Hankins will be fine against the run. If you bring back Tuck, you'll be good stopping the run next year. I'm not worried about that. I am worried about the pass defense a little bit, and that's why I think you have to get better at linebacker and you have to get better at corner. 201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, how was your long weekend, bud?
Well, John, I would say I had a good weekend. I'm optimistic coming in, and then I had to listen to you tell me about all the bad quarterbacks we faced when we won six in a row. Oh, my gosh.
Again, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade, Len, but just keep in mind that was a pretty easy stretch of games.
Listen, John, the holes are monumental, and I think what we have to keep reminding ourselves, we were 7-9. 7-9.
Yep.
Nobody's job is safe. The offense is broken in more ways than one. I'm not a big proponent of bringing back former starters to be backups on your team. I think that's just a waste.
Why is
that? Go get some young, healthy guy.
Okay.
I think we cut bait on Snee and Boss, and we just start over there. I mean, we got to get younger. We got to get healthier. We got to get stronger.
I would be okay with that. I'm fine with that.
I think that's kind of cutthroat. I find it hard to say that, but I think that's the bottom line. And applause to Jason. I think it was two calls ago. Why would we want Hakeem Nicks back? I mean, he's as big a part of the problem as anybody on that team. That was awful last year, John. I mean, you can't bring – I don't care, even if it's for a vet minimum, John. You can't bring back a guy who everybody could – we could see it. I mean, the guy wasn't playing. Now, for whatever the reason, you want to do the injury? If he's hurt, I don't want him back either, if that's what he's going to give us. He's not my starter, you know? And I don't wish any bad things on Hakeem. Listen, I don't want this guy back on my team. I don't want anybody to think that in your walk year, you can do that and get another contract from this team. We can't fall into that trap, John. Go get somebody else to play.
I will disagree. I will disagree to the point, Len, where if you can get him on a veteran minimums contract, I will happily take the key mix back. But I agree with your overall theory.
Okay. You know, I understand. I understand. I probably overdid it a bit. The point is, look, come on. This guy, I don't know what he was doing out there. You want to blame the injury? You know, I feel bad for my friend Steve in Washington because I know he's a big fan. And listen, nobody was a bigger fan than the guy. The guy was good.
He was a great receiver.
I mean, what are you going to – I mean, what message do you send to young guys going into their walk year? I mean, you can't let guys do that. And start making excuses for it. And I think the Giants have actually told him that, too. You know, I think the Giants have said, let's look at the tape, as Warner Wolf used to say in New York. Let's look at the videotape, Hakeem, and, you know, see what you did.
What else you got, Len?
I think, you know, along that offensive line, you got to be thinking offensive line in the draft somewhere in that first couple of rounds. I think we can find starters simply because of who we got on our team. I think we can find starters in 3, 4, and 5, John, in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th round. But, you know, the guy from Michigan, 4-year starter at Michigan, John. You know, All-American, tough guy. I mean, this is the guy we need on the team. I'm not worried about the position. As Tom Rock said last week, just find 5 big guys who can play and then figure out a position for them. And I think that's the way we go with that. All right, well, look, let's go Giants. Hey, let me ask you a cool question about the combine.
Yeah.
If somebody just walked up. I'm not going, but one year I'd like to. It's on my bucket list. If you just walked up, can you walk in, John?
You know what? The NFL, I think the NFL did some type of, like, lottery system with tickets. Like, you could put your name in, and X number of fans would get to attend the combine. I think that's how it works, to be honest with you. I will look into that, Len, and I'll hopefully have a better answer for you tomorrow.
Because it never looks like there's a heck of a lot of people there.
I think the NFL's starting to try to monetize that the same way they're starting to let fans in the media day at the Super Bowl. They're starting to open up the combine a little bit too. Quite frankly, and this is just my opinion, If I was a fan, I went to the combine, I'd be bored out of my gourd.
Yeah, I know.
What are you,
I
just
know.
Watching the guys running around in shorts? They don't even have names on their shirt. You don't even know who's running.
At least you're getting paid for it, John.
Well, that is a beautiful thing, Len. I'm not going to complain about that.
Obviously. Hey, have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, buddy. 201-939-4513. I sound like a spoiled brat there. I understand. Too bad. Roldy's in Bayshore. Roldy, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Roldy. What's up?
Listen, I was reading an article. I want to know if this is true, that the Giants were, you know, interested in No'Shawn Moreno. I mean, he's a good running back, but the two major, you know, negatives about him is he's injury prone and he's always fumbling the ball. So I wanted to know if you know, would that be an ideal case for the Giants to target No'Shawn Moreno?
You know what? I don't think it's an ideal target, a guy like Moreno. I think he's a guy where if your top targets all fall by the waysides, whether it's, you know, Rashad Jennings, if you like him, or if you like a Ben Tate, or if a guy like Mark Ingram gets cut loose. I think if the guys like that, who I think are better targets, all kind of disappear, I think Moreno is a good veteran backup plan that you would bring in and not a lot of money and say, look, you can be our steady guy. You can balance out, you know, a guy like David Wilson, or if we bring back an Andre Brown, and, you know, we'll use you for 10 to 12 carries a game. But, no, to me, he wouldn't be my top target where I say, look, I want him to be my number one guy. Let's go out of our way to pay him bucks to get him to come
right
here.
Rashad Jennings, you think they might, you know, go hard? Because I'm not hearing anything yet about, you know Rashad Jennings.
Well,
you know.
But from what I understand, the Raiders are going to try very hard to re-sign him. So it might be difficult for the Giants to pry him away from Oakland. But to me, he is the best running back on the market that fits the Giants' needs. I think he'll fit well into whatever hybrid Coughlin, McAdoo, you know, West Coast Gilbride offense they come up with. He can block. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He's that type of do-everything running back I think the Giants desperately need.
And you know what, John, and I agree with everything you were saying, you know, that the Giants do need to, you know, upgrade on the pass defense and also the linebacking core. You know, as far as the linebacking core, I feel like we got to get more, you know, athletic, more speed, you know, as far as the outside linebacker and cornerback. And, you know, that's, you know, really, you know, like I said, I would really want to see the Giants, you know, go that route towards the draft, you know, to get a little young, more fresh young guys, more athletic, you know, guys within those two positions, because, you know, those positions are really needed, you know. And I want to thank you for taking my call, and tell me what you think of that. Bye.
Look, I think the Giants, and Rolly, thanks for the call as always, I think the Giants do need to improve at linebacker. I think they have a guy with athleticism and speed like Jaquan Williams. If he can just wrap his head around the game a little bit better, I think he has the physical characteristics you'd like out of a Will linebacker. Besides Beeson, I'd like the Giants' outside linebackers to be a little bit more physical in the run game. I'd like to see them be better blitzers, getting after the quarterback, being better around the line of scrimmage. I think Paysinger's fine, you know, sideline to sideline and in coverage. I think he's okay with that. I think Jaquan's okay with that. I don't think them or Keith Rivers, for that matter, are guys that are going to go attack an offensive lineman, knock him off a block, and go make a tackle. I think that's the bigger problem with the Giants linebacking core. And I don't think they're the most aware guys in the world either. That sound was me hitting myself in the head. I think Paysinger, if you could combine Spencer Paysinger and Jaquan Williams into one player, and take Paysinger's awareness, instincts, and knowledge and combine it with Jaquan Williams' body, speed, and strength, he'd have one hell of a linebacker. But the Giants hope that Jaquan can mature to the point where he can understand the game well enough to be a top-notch linebacker, because he has the physical ability to do it. He really, really does. He just got to go out there, figure it out, study, and become that guy. 201-939-4513. Ed is in Houston, Texas. Ed, what's going on, bud?
Hey, John, good morning to you.
Haven't talked to you in a
while.
Yeah, it's been a while, Ed. What's up?
Well, I kind of ran out of gas talking to you last time. I was talking about Eli calling his own signals, and I had a cold, and my voice was fading, and you just kind of, you were nice. You jumped in and said, okay, Ed in Houston, have a good day. And then, so I've stayed out for a while.
It's all good.
I've had 7 sailing days this year already. It's going to be 77 in Houston today, and I feel sorry for everybody in the Northeast, man. A lot of snow this year.
We appreciate your pity, Ed. It is well-deserved.
Hey, a while back you were saying that you didn't care what position the Giants took in the first pick, with the first pick, but you were saying you wanted an impact player.
Damn right.
And there hasn't been too much talk about this guy, I don't believe. Gilbert, that corner?
I'd be fine with Justin Gilbert. Now, the funny thing about Gilbert, and this is something I think Todd McShay said on Twitter the other day, where he was standing next to him at the Senior Bowl, and he didn't think he was much taller than 5'10", 5'11". Now, he's listed at 6'1", in his college handbook. So I'm curious to see where his measurements come in at the combine.
Yeah. I mean, they're showing him to be one of the top 2 corners to be coming out for the first round.
No
but
question.
He also, from what I read, he's returned 6 kickoffs for touchdowns in his college career. If the Giants can get him, he's 6 foot, roughly 200 pounds. There's your starting left corner and a kickoff returner at the same time.
Now, Ed, you're right, but I think I guarantee what's going to happen. If they bring in Justin Gilbert and he's going to be their starting corner, I'm going to get 24 phone calls referencing the Jason Sehorn kick return for a torn ACL back in whatever it was, 1999, and Giant fans are going to be terrified to put Justin Gilbert on kickoffs, even though we can do it.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you can't please everybody.
No, that's true.
Even if he doesn't start a corner right away and they bring back McBride, if they stick him back there as a kickoff returner at first and then bring him in slow, I would think a double threat, he's bound to succeed in one of the two.
Hey, look, I think Gilbert's a guy the Giants will definitely take a look at. I think all eyes will be on his measurements at the combine. And to me, corner, and again, you're right, and I stick by my statement, I want a player that can impact the team right away in round number 1. That, to me, is the most important thing you can get. But when you talk about positions, I think it makes a lot of sense for the Giants to go with a cornerback in round 1 of the draft this year. I think it matches up well with their needs, with what they're going to do in free agency. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. John, I want to pay you a compliment. Of all the various hosts I listen to on this show, you are by far and away the best, because you always listen to your callers, whether it's a repeat-type subject or whether they're very well-informed or not. But you have a very slow fuse. Even Anna D.C. has a problem getting you lit up. And you're really good with the callers. You're very personable. And you are, as I said, by far the best host on this show.
Ed, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you very much.
Okay, you have a good day, buddy.
Have a good one, buddy. And our buddies Lance Meadow and Paul, they do an excellent job as well, but I will happily take the compliment from Ed. Thank you very much. And I can get riled up sometimes. I should play for Ed the Ernest phone call in Connecticut from a few weeks ago when I screamed at him about David Wilson. That was a bad one. But I lose my cool sometimes. Some people know how to push my buttons. But and here's the thing, and this is what I think really makes the show work, and I'm going to take Ed's comment to me and turn it around a little bit. I really think we have really good, knowledgeable callers calling up the show. If I had, you know, a person calling up that was really dopey and said something dumb, I'd call them on it. But I don't think that happens very often. I think, in general, we have very good, informed, knowledgeable callers that understand different point of views, and we can go back and forth. I really do. I think it makes sense, and I think it works. And I want to give the callers a lot of credit for making the show as good as it is. Because without you guys and having people to go back and forth with, I wouldn't be able to do the show. Especially by myself in the off season when not a lot's going on. I have a great opportunity to talk to some very knowledgeable Giant fans. And it's fun. I love it. It's good stuff. 201-939-4513. Tim is in Minneapolis. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, Tim. What's up?
Not too much, man. I just, I made my mid-season, the Giants are going to the playoffs prediction, and so.
That didn't work out too well for you, did it, Tim?
So I kind of put myself on mute for the rest of the season.
Now, Tim, I'm hoping all you made that prediction was with us and you didn't place any entertainment purposes on that anywhere else.
Yeah, well, you know. I pretty much predicted that to all my friends and family. So
that probably didn't work out too well for you, no.
yeah, I was the butt of the joke all year, but it's all good.
That's okay.
Yeah,
on the bright side, Tim, the Vikings didn't make the playoffs either, so I'm sure that made it a little bit easier for you.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just happy that I didn't watch a Peyton win the Super Bowl in our stadium.
Yeah, that's funny. See, I wanted Peyton to win that game. I think the Seahawks a little mouthy. I think Peyton's a great quarterback. I don't know. I wanted the Broncos to win, but I see where you're coming from in that, Tim. What do you got on the Giants for me?
I'm just thinking, like, what's up with Demontre Moore? Wondering what do you see, you know, does his role get expanded next year? Because I'm really worried about, you know, JPP. It's like, okay, JPP really had, like, one breakout season, and he's kind of been, I don't know, unimpressive. Yeah, I know he's been hurt or whatever, and, you know, a back injury is kind of a weird thing. And I'm just wondering if you think he's ever really going to get back to form. He seems like he's becoming kind of injury prone, and I'm just thinking maybe if we could get, you know, Justin Tuck back at a good number and then maybe work Demontre Moore in there, because let's face it, all of our problems on defense, as far as I see, come from the fact that our defense is built to get pressure on the quarterback first, make the ball come out fast, and that makes the backside better.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, what do you think the Giants are going to do as far as addressing pass rushing? Would you be surprised if they drafted another pass rusher, you know, in the first or the second round?
No, it would never surprise me for Jerry Reese to draft a pass rusher. I've seen it way too many times. When they had Strahan and Tuck, what they do? They draft Mathias Kiwanuka. When they had Tuck and Kiwanuka and thrown a little bit of Strahan, what they do? They drafted Jason Pierre-Paul. So it will never surprise me that the Giants select the defensive end in the draft. In terms of JPP, you know, it's really the million-dollar question, because if the Giants want to be a very good, great team that can win the division next year, JPP is going to have to come back and play better, because he is the only guy, I think, on this roster that can be next year a very dynamic pass rusher. They need him to get back to who he is. Can he? I don't know. Guys struggle coming back from back surgeries. Now he has a shoulder injury. You know, he's going to try to rehab and not have to have surgery on. We'll see if that works. He hopes it will. To me, I'm sick of Jason Pierre-Paul, you know, saying a lot of things. Like, oh, I'll be 100%. I'll be better next year. I'm done with the talk. I want to see it on the field. He's been with the Giants now for 4 years. Out of those four seasons, he's had 1.5 good years. For a first-round pick, that's not good enough. So he's got to come back this year in his walk year, in his contract year, be in the best shape in his life. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to get mentally engaged the entire season, be in, again, the best shape of his life. I don't want to see that little belly. I want to make sure he's in great shape when he comes in here, and he's got to have a big-time impact year if the Giants are going to be a great defensive team next year. He has to be.
I think he just maybe got too much success too early, and then I noticed that. Like, that first year he came in, he was in good shape, and then we won the Super Bowl, and then it was like he was kind of fat after that, but whatever, you know. and then addressing our linebackers, I want to pull an Antonio Pierce. Is there anybody out there who's like a good, like, mid-level linebacker that we could maybe get in free agency that's just ready to step up and be a leader of a defense? It's not like, you know, Antonio Pierce was like some highly heralded linebacker until he came to our team. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he did his thing in Washington for a second, but he really stood out as a leader of defenses and men when he really took over our defense. And I don't mind, one man's trash is another man's treasure sometimes. It just depends on how a guy fits into your system. You don't think you can always judge a guy by the way he, you know, left his last system. Maybe that was just a bad fit for him. Maybe it was just had something to do with the coaches. I don't know.
Well, Tim, honestly, you know, I think your future in terms of replacing Antonio Pierce, I think the guy was here last year. I think it's John Beeson. He's the exact same type of player as Pierce in terms of being very smart, intellectual, and reading defenses and being the quarterback of the defense. And he's a phenomenal leader. He leads, I think, in a different way than Antonio Pierce does. But they're both very vocal. They're both leaders. They both know how to control that defense. They vocalize things to guys on the field and off the field to make them better players. To me, I think Beeson's that guy. I think he's your leader. And even if the Giants bring in somebody in free agency or the draft, which I think is possible, to me, Beeson's still your leader or linebacker if the Giants bring him back. He has all the qualities that you would want out of a guy like that. And I think he's the perfect replacement for Antonio Pierce, who really the Giants never did replace a middle linebacker. I think Beeson's that guy, to be honest with you.
Isn't he coming up in free agency? This is going to be like his first time really getting to test the market, though, right?
Yeah, he signed an extension off his rookie contract with Carolina. I don't think he ever reached free agency, so this will be his first time testing the market, and the Giants will have to open up the wallet to bring him back, I think.
That's the scary part.
No, I hear you.
We got to open up our wallet. You know what I'm saying? And I have no, you know, I'm a diehard Giants fan. I don't care how we get it done. I don't care what we spend as long as we win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Beeson is going to want a little bit more money than we're going to be willing. You know, I think we're willing to roll the dice on some more rookies. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I would just like to see us get a big cornerback on the other side of Moore tomorrow. And if Stevie Brown comes back and we can find maybe get Beeson back at the right price or find another hungry vet who's seen it all in the NFL that can kind of be the quarterback of our defense, then I don't know. I mean, I think Giants fans just need to remember we started out 0-6. If we just go 3-3 in the first half of the season and then take the second half of the season at 7-3, we're 10-6. You know what I'm saying? So I think we got a good chance of making the playoffs. The NFC East isn't running away from us. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think they got lucky last year. I don't know. I don't think Nick Folk is going to have that kind of an efficient year again. It's just like, you know, we got tape on them. Once the NFL gets tape on you, they make adjustments. Just like, you know, everybody was killing Kevin Gilbride, but the truth of it is you've got like 15 years of tape on his offense. You know what I'm saying?
Ah, yes, fair.
They adjusted to us, and that's just what happened. So I think we got a new offensive coordinator, and we just got a couple holes on defense. I don't think things are as bad as, you know, everybody wanted to make it out to be. You know, 7-9, hey, it's better than 3-13 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. I'm always going to look on the bright side. And besides, I've still got 2 Super Bowls in the last, like, 5 years or something. I'm still going to dinner on that. And, yeah, I'm making my early prediction. Giants going to the Super Bowl next year.
Piss it, Tim. I mean, I got the free agency yet. You can't predict. I'm not taking that seriously. You call me back after the draft, and then we can have that conversation. All right, Tim?
What kind of fan would I be if I didn't say that every day?
I appreciate that. Tim, thanks for the call, bud.
All right, bro.
Survive Minnesota. You know, we complain about the weather here, by the way. You don't want to live in Minnesota. And I should have brought this up with Tim, but my future wife's brother lives in Minnesota. You don't know what cold is. I mean, they had days where it was like a high of -8 with a wind chill of -35. I mean, that's how cold Minnesota is. There's a reason when you go to Minneapolis, I'm not sure how many people out there have actually been there before. It's a nice city, nice town, it's fun. But they've built like skyways everywhere. So you never actually have to go outside. You can walk like 10 blocks all inside skyways. So you don't have to go outside and deal with the cold. That's how bad it is. So as bad as our weather here has been, Tim, I know Minnesota's been rough this winter. So God bless. Ed in Houston, by the way, called back and said he heard my call with Ernest. So I guess he's considering that one of the few and far between moments. That was his quote. How the Sal was writing down quotes. I love it. the other thing that Tim brought up that I should hit, Demontre Moore, he asked about first and foremost. I think the Giants would like to see him take a big step forward. It was mentioned in the paper how he had a little surgery in the offseason. He's recovering from that. But look, Demontre has got to get his head in the playbook. He's got to dedicate himself to the game, and he's got to get in the weight room. He does those things. He is as much talent to be as talented a pass rusher as anybody else in this league. That's how much raw talent he has. But he has to turn that talent and ability into production. And it's got to start in year 2 for him. Final call of the show is Matt in New York. Matt, good morning. How you doing, pal?
I'm good, thank you. I just wanted to get your opinion on the running back situation.
Sure.
I think it's going to shape out over free agency in the draft. Like, I saw yesterday that David Wilson's recovering well, but I don't know how much you can rely on him with his neck and everything.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, I mean, Andre Brown, you think he's coming back, or do you think they are going to go, like, late-round running back? Because I know in the first couple of rounds it's going to be, you know, defensive back or offensive lineman.
Well, I think you have Michael Cox as a late-round running back from last year that could be that, you know, fourth running back on the roster, that type of guy. I don't think Michael Cox is practice squad eligible anymore. I believe he played in too many games next year to be practice squad eligible. I'll double-check that. But I think Andre Brown's a possibility to bring back at a low number, but I believe the Giants will want to bring in an insurance policy, like you said, in case David Wilson can't make it back from this neck surgery, somebody that can rely upon to carry the load, carry it 15 to 20 times a game, and I don't believe Andre Brown is that guy. He has too many injuries. He started fumbling the football at the end of last year, and I don't think the Giants are going to be willing to depend them on either. So I think you will see in free agency a running back come in here that the Giants believe that can carry the load for them if David Wilson can't come back.
Yeah, I heard, you know, Brandon Tate or maybe James Starks, but I don't know if I can. They're, like, both been backups for a while in their careers, so I don't know if they could come in and carry the load.
Yeah, you know what? I think Ben Tate is a better chance. We saw him do it this year when Arian Foster went out, but, you know, who knows if he can stay healthy. And James Starks, you're right. I think he is the talent to be a decent NFL running back, but he's had a ton of injury issues in the limited playing time he's had in Green Bay. So who knows if he can stay healthy being the number one guy. I'm not sure if he can.
Yeah. And one more thing, I saw this guy from a mock draft in the late rounds, this running back from Wisconsin, like I think James White or something. But I've seen a lot of mock drafts that the Giants have, like, them picking him. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not.
Well, I'm going to look him up right now. Let's see what we got here. James White, Wisconsin running back. And let's see.
I'm pretty sure it's James White.
Yeah, no, it comes up as James White. Let me bring him up here as NFLDraftScout.com player profile. And the one running back I like, by the way, as I load up his numbers here, I'm a big Rashad Jennings fan. I think if the Giants can figure out a way to bring him in, I think that'll be a good answer. James White, let's see, 5'9", which is short, but he's 206, so a real stocky guy. Ran a 4.52 40. That was his 40 time. He got as low as the 4.4s. He's going to be at the combine, so I'll watch that. He seems to be a guy. At 5'9", 206, that's a pretty broad, stocky guy. So I imagine he'll probably be able to take a pounding. Usually those Wisconsin running backs are the bigger physical between the tackle, straight ahead type of guy. So I will keep an eye on him, Matt, at the combine, and I'll give you my opinion when I get back next week.
Yeah, it was just something I saw in some mock drafts and later rounds.
Sounds good. I appreciate the call, Matt. Thanks a lot, bud.
All right, thank you.
And everybody, great job on the phones today. Seriously, we got some good talking on the offensive line. As usual, we did the quick dip into Akeem Nicks, and then we dip right out again. Did a little running back, did a little tight end. Excellent show. We got a bunch of Twitter comments coming in here. Let's see. I will let the complimentary things said about me, and I'll just leave them there. I'm not going to repeat them. I'm not going to pump myself up that much. Lance will show up and slap me in the back of the head. Vic, Len is on point. Nicks disrespected the Giants. The way he played this last year. That might be a little strong, but I see where you're coming from. Snead and Boss are not worth the money. Again, maybe they can renegotiate, though. Get young, take 2 years to fix it. The fix is not in year one. And I think to a certain extent he might be right. It might take more than 1 year to completely fix this offensive line, depending on who they bring in. But I think you give it a shot and you try to do it this season, which is why maybe you leave one of those veterans in place to be a veteran presence. Jaquan Williams is from Stu DeMeglio. Jaquan was very disappointing. Thought he could be much better by now. Give me Anthony Barr. We cannot ignore linebacker again. Again, if Barr is there at 12, we'll see. Again, Barr, though, is more the outside 3-4 pass-rushing linebacker. Not really a 3-4 guy, but I'd be okay. A guy like Mosley, I think that's good. Let's see, what else do we have here? Chris Dowling, Terrence West, a running back out of Towson. That's a small school. Could be a guy they are looking at in middle rounds. I'll keep an eye on him too, Chris, when I go to the combine. I'll write that down. Doug Borington, we were bad last year. Got to get better. Tom wants a late pick. This is at go-to wide receiver 80, WR80. Late pick for corner, Kendall James from Maine, 5'11", 180. reported 4.35 40. He's a Jersey kid. He's at the combine. Tom, I'll keep an eye on him as well. But wow, 4.35 40. That's pretty good. You can't teach speed, right? 5'11", 180. That's not badly sized. A little on the light side. I like to have somebody a little heavier in the 190 area, but you can live with 5'11", 180. You can play with that. So I'll keep an eye on him, Tom, in that draft. And this week, we're going to have a lot of draft prep. That's going to be a lot of my work this week, getting stuff ready for the combine, getting stuff ready for the draft. So I'll be ready to roll when we get to the combine on Friday. It should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Should be great. And it looks like we are going to have a chance to have our buddy Pete DeMilitas from Pro Football Focus on Thursday. We'll work that out. I'm going to talk to him, see if maybe we can take calls with him. We could have a lot of fun with that on Thursday, breaking down free agents and all that type of stuff. Everybody, excellent work on the phones today. Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 9:30 on Giants.com. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you to Dan Salomon, our call screener and producer. And we will see you tomorrow morning on Giants.com. Everybody, have a good one.